Why don't we go ahead and get started? We will officially call the meeting to order. So welcome, everyone. I hope that I can carry on the long tradition here of keeping these meetings professional and running on time. Before we get going officially, I just wanted to tell Nancy, thank you for the last year of serving as chair. We appreciate it. I know if we were all there formally, we probably would say something maybe a little more ceremonial, but thank you for your time and effort over the last year. Very much appreciated.
Very welcome. Thank you, Chase.
And with that, let's go ahead and start off with the roll call. Obviously, this is Chase Phillips, chair. And who else do we have here with us?
Oh, hey, Chase.
Yes.
Could we do it broken up a little bit and just have you do the title commission first, and then we'll do the department, and then we'll do public?
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I know I've heard Nancy's with us and Allison's with us. Do we have Randy and Perry with us?
Yes. This is Randy Smart. I'm on.
And Perry?
Chase, you are breaking up.
Chase, you're breaking up.
Well, that's going to be a problem. Just give me just a moment to switch to a cell phone connection instead.
Hopefully this is better. Are you able to hear me now without the chop on the line?
Yeah, it's much better.
Okay, thank you for letting me know. Okay, so where we left off was we acknowledge Randy's on the line with us, and I didn't hear from Perry. I assume that she's not with us this morning. So we'll move on, and let's who's with us from the department?
This is Eddie Vasquez from the AG's office. I'm not sure if Perry's going to be on. I'm on, though.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's, who's with us from the department this morning?
Randy Overstreet. Here.
Reed Stringham's here.
Adam Martin's here.
And Todd Kaiser is here as well. Thank you.
Do we have Michael, Danny, or Tracy with us?
Michael's not here. She just comes in quarterly.
Okay.
Tracy's not here.
Okay.
And sounds like Danny's not here either.
Thank you. And let's go ahead and take a roll call from the public joining us today.
Perry Dowell just joined.
I heard Perry and I heard Blake. Welcome.
Bob Rice.
Jerry Helton.
Matt Ryden.
Jessica Goodman with Stewart.
Jeff Weiner is on the line. Good morning.
Nathan Sprague.
Okay, anyone else who's just joined? Okay, Steve, were you able to catch all those names?
I think so. I've got Perry, Blake Heiner, Bob Rice, Jerry Houghton, Matt Ryden, Nathan Sprague, Jessica Goodman, and Jeff Weiner.
That's who I heard as well.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining. Let's move forward, and we'll take a minute to review the minutes from the previous meeting. We'll take a motion to adopt the minutes. Hopefully, everyone's had a chance to review them already.
I'm not on the committee. This is Randy, the department. Mm-hmm. If I noticed something,
yes,
that I didn't think looked correct, can I comment on it?
Please do.
Okay. It's the minutes for the August 17th meeting, and I was not in attendance at that meeting. I was out of town.
Okay.
But under the attorney exemptions for Samuel Bell, I see a comment in there that says, Nancy notes that UID got Mr. Bell's request on July 10th, and he was notified of the UID's approval on July 31st. Actually, we didn't receive his notice. We didn't receive his request until July 28th.
Okay.
His letter was dated July 28th, and it came into us, via email on that same date. And then the approval was done on July 31st, so that was done within the five-day required period.
Okay. Randy, thank you for pointing that out. I would assume that that's just perhaps a misunderstanding or miscommunication on the notes of the timeline. Steve, would you be able to make an additional note there that Randy has clarified that timeline for us, that the request was actually received July 28th?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take a listen to the recording again. And if it stands, I'll make a note that it was actually the 28th, and if not, I'll just fix it.
Well, what I wonder is and Nancy, maybe you better chime in here, but I would assume that you might have said the 10th, not knowing or maybe having been told it was the 10th when really it was the 28th. Or Nancy's not in that office, I wonder if, yeah, go ahead.
I am sure I was just looking at the spreadsheet, the same one that we've received today for the new person, and I would think I was just reading off the dates across the top of it. So I don't know if there was a typo left last month or if I was just, off in left field. So I agree with the correction.
Sure. I'll review everything and see what's up.
Okay. Randy, thank you for. Sorry, I just want to say, Randy, thank you for catching that for us and bringing that to our attention. And I was going to ask, does anybody else have any other items, and would we like to have a motion? So please continue, Allison.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with Randy's corrections.
And I will second that.
I heard Nancy speaking first and second, so Allison has made a motion. Nancy has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. And let's move forward to the concurrence report with Reed Stringham from the department. And we will begin to review the new licenses, then penalties, and then attorney exemptions. Reed, please, the time is yours.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. Jeez.
The age of COVID, what we have to deal with.
Oh, jeez. I reviewed the documents, and there was one glitch in them. I don't know if we got that fixed and got the fix out to you, Steve. Were you able to do that?
I did not.
Okay. originally it showed title company getting double licenses, but in actuality there was some kind of misrecording in the computer system. The companies, two companies whose licenses were reinstated were Bay National Title and Infinity Title. The original report showed only Bay National Title. Other than that, there isn't anything unusual that I saw remarkable in the reports, and so we'll submit them for your consideration.
Reed, this is Randy again. I'm sorry to jump in, but I'm not sure that Steve ever got the title agency licensing report out. I didn't get it in quite in time, and I think they may have received only the individual licensing report, so maybe we may need to check to see if they have the agency report that you received.
Thank you, Randy.
Randy, I'm glad you said that, because I was just scrolling through what we've had, and I noticed that I didn't have anything regarding the companies. And so I appreciate
I appreciate
you pointing that out.
I was supposed to get that into Steve by Thursday, and he didn't get it till Friday morning, but he was out of town. He was not in the office on Friday, so I didn't know if he would get that out this morning to you prior to the meeting, but I don't believe it went out.
Yes, I don't think we have it.
It did not.
Well, I would assume that what we could do is next month, we could probably review the company portion of licenses for both this last period and this current period in next month's meetings and approve the individual report as it is.
Excellent.
Would that be acceptable?
Yes, this is Perry. We'll have to do that since they were not part of the agenda.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's move on then and so thank you for the verbal report, Reed, on the companies. Let's discuss the individuals.
Oh, the individuals, there's nothing remarkable that I saw on the licensees. So we'll submit those. Well, can we submit those for their consideration, or are we going to do everything next month, Perry?
I think you can, because it was included with the materials and is on the agenda. So I think you're fine to review and approve these this month.
Thank you. So I'll submit them.
I would propose or motion to concur with the individual licensing as proposed in August 2020. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Nancy and seconded by Allison. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion passes. Let's move on to, are there any penalties to discuss, Reed?
Yeah,
there are a bunch of penalties. Sorry, thank you. Yes, there are.
there's one case, and I'm here, and so I'll let him give a brief explanation of what it's all about. I think it's fairly straightforward from the papers, but he's here to give that explanation.
Thank you. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, good morning. This was actually came in on a complaint that I received, and once I got into the complaint, I found out that they were actually holding construction funds, and once I did a little more deeper diving, I found out that they had actually conducted two closings where they held the construction funds, and basically that's what the forfeiture. I didn't see the forfeiture worksheet attached. I sent that to Steve earlier this morning, and I don't believe that was sent out either. So the way you could see the breakdown of how the forfeiture was.
Adam,
did
maybe
they go out?
No.
What's that?
Adam, could you just explain how we reached the amount on the forfeiture?
Sure. what you had is you had two violations of 406, where where the penalty is for two violations, and then you had one for holding the construction funds in the trust account that was dispersed, and there was a total of 17 disbursements from the trust account on this. And that was broke down into a forfeiture where two times the profit that was received and times the violations. And the violation part of it was $1,700. And then the mandatory forfeiture for two times the profit was $2,633. And for a total of $4,833 was what the forfeiture came out to be.
Thank you, Adam.
Is there any questions?
So just to clarify, and when it talks about co-mingling in this, they were co-mingling between files, not between accounts, like say like an operating account and an escrow account, right, or a trust account, right?
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
But Chase, do we need to concur with that penalty?
We do. We do. And I'm sorry, I was reading a little more of this myself and just making sure that I understand that correctly. Adam, I appreciate your explanation of how you came up with the forfeiture amount. My knowledge on that, while still fairly fresh to the position, I do remember, seeing or hearing from past cases brought before this body, that sounds in line, and I believe that to be accurate. So I would ask for a motion to concur with the forfeiture and with the order.
This is Allison. I'll make a motion to concur with the forfeiture.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, and the motion passes. I'm sorry, I believe I said with the order, I meant the stipulation.
There's also
but thank
order
you for the motion. Oh, I wasn't down that far, sorry. Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, and we will we'll next move on to attorney exemptions. Looks like we've received a request for one exemption from Tom Cook.
Yeah, Randy, do you want to discuss that with the commission, please?
Sure. yes, on September 14th, we received an attorney exemption request from from Tom Cook. And he looks very, very well qualified, other than that he does not hold an insurance license. And and the rule dealing with the attorney requests and instructions for how to submit for approval, there is a requirement to have an insurance license, and so we were recommending disapproval. That was our preliminary. We had a preliminary disapproval of that request that we're submitting.
Okay. So this may be an area where I may not be familiar enough with all the requirements.
We did have one back in 2013, a person named Kyle Spart had submitted a request for attorney exemption, and in that case the request was denied, a preliminary denial by the department and then concurrence by the title commission. back in 2013. And anyway, we did have one example of that occurring in the past.
There is precedence here. So the title commission concurred with the denial. Right, I'm understanding that correctly. So yeah. the exception was not granted.
And basically, the rule is R592-8, which is the application process for attorney exemption, and specifically the subsection R592-8-5 in the subsection 1. It says an individual title licensee who is an attorney as defined in this rule desiring to obtain an agency title insurance producer license under the exemption provided in 31A23A2041C shall make a request for exemption to the commissioner in accordance with the requirements of this section. So that's the only place where it really references that a title license would be required, as it does say an individual title licensee. So if he doesn't yet have a license, he's not an individual title licensee. And that's been interpreted in looking at that the title license is required. What we're looking to exempt is the number of years experience requirement, you know, the 3 years of experience in title in escrow and in title exam. So the three years can be exempt in for a qualifying attorney requesting it, but not the license itself. There's still that requirement,
okay.
Even if it only be a week old, but still required to have. As far as my understanding, I'm not an attorney.
And Chase, this is Perry. I'm here if you have questions.
Well, I was actually just going to ask if you wanted to make a comment on that in terms of the way that Randy's interpreting that.
Yes, I agree with his interpretation, because the rule does say a title licensee, so he has to have the individual license to be exempt from the agency license.
Okay.
It's a short and sweet way to put it.
Perhaps as a commission, what we may want to do is make a motion to agree with rejecting this request for exemption, but make a recommendation to Mr. Cook that were he to obtain his individual license, to reapply at that time, or resubmit a request.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly he's qualified. I mean, he's mm-hmm. got plenty of experience, and I'm sure if he went to take the exam, he'd have no trouble passing, and it mm-hmm. would just be a matter of formality at that point. I mean, I'm sure by our next meeting, he could come back before us and have no problem getting that exemption. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Allison. He's already been notified as of about a week and a half ago, and I'm sure that was brought up, right, Randy?
Yes, he's been notified of the preliminary disapproval, and
okay.
And also that if the title commission concurs with that preliminary disapproval decision, then he'll be notified of that as well, and that he can and in an email when I notify him, upon taking the required exams and getting his license with those lines of authority that are needed, he could again submit a request for exemption of the time requirement of 3 years.
In order
to own the to open up an agency, I'll let him know that he can. Yeah.
Okay. And no, obviously, I'm looking back through all of the other requests, previously in the year, that everyone else, that precedent holds true. They both, Samuel Bell is licensed, Jeff Breglio is licensed. So I think that
I think that I would have no issue asking him to follow the statute and recommendations as we currently interpret them. So I guess my question might be, do we want to make a recommendation? If he's already been notified, perhaps all we need to do is just concur with the department's recommendation to deny this request.
I would agree. I will make that motion to concur with this preliminary. Well, it says preliminary disapproval. So, are we agreeing with the preliminary disapproval, or at this point does it become a full disapproval?
That's a good question, Perry. Recommendations on how we phrase the motion.
I think it's concurrence with the preliminary denial.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, Nancy, you want to make that formal?
Yes, you bet. I make a motion to concur with the preliminary denial of the request by Mr. Tom Cook.
And a second?
And I'll second. I'll second.
Thank you. So, motion by Nancy, seconded by Allison. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion passes. The exemption is denied. And hopefully Mr. Cook will take that exam and get his license and come back and we'll approve it. Okay. Thank you for Randy and Perry for your insight on that. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, let's move on to the board duties and responsibilities. Perry, I believe this is for you. You have some information
okay, thank
for
you.
Us.
I have no board duties or responsibilities this month, but I had a hard time joining the call at the beginning, and I want to make sure that the statement on the anchor location was adequately put into the record.
No, we didn't read it in. Oh, sorry, Chase.
Sorry, we're just gonna say, Steve, if you would talk about that, maybe that's just my error.
So I can talk about it. So there's the pleading or the little document, Chase, that you signed,
mm-hmm.
stating that because yes. of the current COVID pandemic, we are holding this meeting electronically, and that there's no need for an anchor location in accordance with the Open Meetings Act. So all we have to do is just state on the record, essentially, just what I said, that in accordance
yeah.
with the Open Meeting Act, you know, you as chair have declared that there's a substantial risk to the health and safety. So, you know, we're holding this meeting at an anchor location.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate that. And perhaps just for myself, Steve, to remember to do this, it would be helpful to have, is that something that we could, for as long as we're going to do this, to have that added to the agenda, probably after the telephone roll call and before the adoption of the minutes, and that way I won't forget about that again in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'll put it on there.
Yeah, I do
Thank
too.
You.
And then just to reiterate, the document you signed is only good for 30 days. So it may,
yes. yeah.
You know, depending on when we have the meeting in October, it might still qualify. But just remember that
okay.
we have to look at this every 30 days.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh. And that's,
okay,
that's
so
all I
to make. Thank you. To make this clear for everyone on the call and the public that might be listening to this later, in accordance with Utah Code 52-4-207, subchapter 4, as chair of the Title and Escrow Committee, I, Chase Phillips, have determined that holding a meeting at an anchor location presents substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at the anchor location due to the current COVID-19 pandemic. And we have chosen to host the meeting here electronically. So pursuant to Utah Code 52-4-2075, this determination is valid for 30 days from the date of this determination. We decided that September 23rd, 2020, and we'll revisit that again within the next 30 days if the meeting should happen if another meeting should happen before the next 30 days. And I don't know exactly which date that is off the top of my head.
It looks like our next meeting is October 19th. We should be good with this declaration.
We'll be within 30 days. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to update the 2020 goals. Nancy, do you want to report to us from the last ULTA meeting?
Thank you, Chase. In reading the minutes from last month, there was quite a bit of information shared last month with the commission about ABAs. That does seem to be still be an ongoing concern with the ULTA. So information this month, which is pertinent for this commission, would be that the convention that was supposed to be held in July was actually postponed to October, and then at this meeting, they will not be holding it. They're going to do kind of a smaller virtual meeting this year, and then it will be held next year. But the discussion with the ABAs did continue, and it is still the feeling of the ULTA that agents should be able to Google search ABAs, at least find information on their website or find it on someone's website who the ABAs are. I did reach out to Johnny Stewart, director over at the real estate division, and he shared that the information will not be in their newsletters, although he will probably put something in the newsletter about it if there's changes having to do with regulations with the ABA. But he did say that he will put on they're planning to put on their website once a year an updated list of who these ABAs are based on their filed annual report. So as of March of this year, in his email, he listed Investors Title Insurance Agency, DBA Homey Title Insurance Agency, Masters Title Insurance Agency, Placer Title Insurance Agency, and Rudd and Hawks Title Insurance Agency. We know that there are several more of these ABAs now, but he said he will not know who they are until they file their annual report next year. So the discussion came back to the Department of Insurance that the ULTA Executive Committee is thinking that the Department of Insurance actually knows who these entities are because as you are signing up agents, and this is, I'm just passing on the information from this person. As you are signing up agents, the capitalization comes up. And so the capitalization is different for an ABA versus another company. So the ULTA is still coming back and feeling like the Department of Insurance could provide a list of who those agents are. That's the main point coming from the ULTA meeting this month. And I think, Reed, I think we discussed this previously, that you did not feel it was necessary to regulate who they are. And I think the ULTA is saying they're not asking for the Department of Insurance to regulate. Just they're looking for information as to who these companies are.
And I guess it's a matter of legal authority to even report the names. So is ULTA making a request through you that the department take a look at that, or is ULTA going to make a formal request of the department, or where does that stand?
During the discussion, I did tell them that I would bring it up on our next meeting.
But if you would prefer a formal, I have no a formal request. I have no problem asking them to do so.
That would be helpful to me with something that lays out their rationale for their belief that the department has authority to do what they're saying we should do.
Thank you. I will take that word back to them. And then for, that is it for the ULTA.
Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate that.
Okay. You bet.
Nancy, thank you for continuing to help keep the two bodies informed of what we're all, what we're both, I guess, trying to help with the public's general awareness on the new landscape here in Utah regarding the APA. So I appreciate it. And I know you mentioned earlier in the call that DARTA passed on the information from the Real Estate Commission report to you. So you'll be giving that in place of DARTA. She's her name is next to that item on the agenda, but we'll be hearing from Nancy today as well. So we'll let you continue, Nancy.
The information that DARTA gave me was that it looks like August 2020, there are 16,591 sales agents. That's up almost 800 from last year. And then if you go down to enforcement, they had 28 new complaints, close 27, and their total cases, including three at the AG's office, is 476. And that is the information provided. So thank you, Chase.
Thank you. Nice to see them continue their efforts to try and, I mean, I remember the days of those cases just growing exponentially. So
they do seem to be getting a handle on that.
Yep. We'll move on to the next agenda item, the annual report to the Title and Escrow Commission. Reed, we're excited to hear what you have for us.
Well, many thanks to Adam Martin for putting this together. I think the report is fairly self-explanatory. It covers, we scoured the statute last year and made sure we were providing the information that the statute requires. We think we've done that. And you have the report in front of you. Adam's here in case you have any questions.
Okay. I just out of curiosity, I don't recall this from last year, to be honest. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but was there a year-to-year comparison? Were there any additional reports or complaints received this year? I was curious about that with some of the rule changes, maybe as a result of Senate Bill 121. I wondered if that wasn't going to increase some of what we saw. I mean, I know we only have 28 complaints, but I didn't recall how many we had last year total.
Chase, I'm trying to.
We had 32.
Oh, we had 32. Yeah, I'm 32. Okay, I was just going to say, that's probably really unfair for me to ask since it's not on the report, but thank you. So we actually went down. That's interesting. Okay. And Adam, it appears to me that the majority of the complaints we're getting result in no action taken. I guess that, to me, I interpret that as that the industry itself is probably fairly healthy and everyone is doing what they're supposed to. We don't have a whole lot of violations.
It was either unfounded or it was their first violation and I used that as educational.
And that's the private letter of admonition issued as a warning.
That's okay. A little further step. First time, and usually on unfair inducements or something not like that, it could be just used as educational, and that's why. The ones that, there's one or two on there that they did get a private letter of admonition. That's just another step higher.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions on this report? Is there anything else that you feel like?
I just think they're doing a great job. You know, I think last year I compared it to the other commission. I know they're trying to improve their situation, but I really appreciate that the Department of Insurance never gets behind. You know, we don't have this lag tail of a lot of outstanding, you know, just outstanding things that haven't been taken care of. So we appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Nancy.
Agreed. In fact, as you say that, Nancy, I do remember now, that was last year was when we were making a comment about how the Division of Real Estate on their side, that I remember us talking about how their cases, it seemed like they were never going to catch up from this report last year. So, yeah, I would just say I totally agree with Nancy, and you guys are doing, it's nice to see the department keeping up and not letting there be a major backlog.
Thank you.
With this agenda item, any kind of a motion on accepting the report? Is there anything for us to do on this, Perry?
I don't think it would hurt. I don't think it's required, but I don't think it would hurt.
Okay. Can we have a motion then from the commission, one of the commission members, to adopt a report, the annual report from the Title and Escrow Commission?
I can make a motion to, I agree with Randy, so moved.
Okay. I heard Randy first that time, and that's how I've been trying to do it. So we'll take that motion from Randy. Does someone want a second?
I will second it.
Okay. The motion is, we have a motion from Randy, seconded by Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on, looks like there's no old business that was for continued discussion. Other business, we've been discussing the affiliated business arrangement awareness. It's been, we made it. I guess we moved it on the agenda into an official other business item. Reason being on that is I think this is an issue that for us as a body, there's twofold. But one is we want to continue to think about how to address this and how to help the industry keep making this an open licensing or an open issue with the public. But Nancy, you may have discussed all that needs to be discussed today already on it, just in that short segment, that the commission is interested in learning or determining, you know, how does the general public themselves really genuinely become aware of the title agencies that are operating under an APA and those that are not? I guess I would ask Nancy, is there anything further that you would want to ask beyond what you already did, other than just that we'll make a recommendation to ULTA that they make a formal request and a justification for the rationale for asking for that?
I don't have anything. I'm looking back at the notes last month, and I did think it was important to bring the information up that the DRE will not have information on any new ABAs until March or April of next year. I think that's important for the Department of Insurance to know. We were also following up because Commissioner Kaiser had talked about possibly doing a quarterly or traveling roadshow in the future, and he was wondering if that, and Commissioner Kaiser, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that's how it came up. You said, well, could there be a list of who they are so that they are invited to these roadshows? That was all very preliminary, but that just gives the background as to why I was moving forward with it, as well as what you said, Chase, that we need to, I don't think there's anybody out there that feels that the ABAs necessarily don't need to be here, but just that it should be either on their own website, that they are ABAs, that it is just information that should be available to the public. Does that answer your question, Chase?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
And so I... Go ahead.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Nancy. I think that's probably a pretty fair recollection of how I kind of wanted to help to see this maybe find some resolution, because ABAs do present, I think, an interesting dilemma out there, and there needs to be some way to capture who they are. And but we'll keep working on it.
Well, we appreciate that, Commissioner, and I think from our standpoint, we would like to keep this on our agenda for a little bit longer, just to help, however we can help, maybe reach a resolution there somewhere to help create public awareness, whatever we can do there. Hopefully what we'll see is something from the ULTA sent in over this next month to the division formally, and perhaps that could be once the division receives that, you can we could address that, the response or what you find. You could bring that back to us here under this agenda item in a future meeting.
With COVID out there and the way that we're handling meetings right now, and I'm not sure there's a virtual way to handle it. I don't see us doing in-person, you know, conversations with the commissioner, you know, for some time. But
yeah,
it does need, you know, it just does present some challenges, and we need to see if there's a way that we can work. And I guess if the if there's a formal request to the Department of Reed to kind of work through this, maybe we can figure out a way that we collect more data on it. Maybe it's something we look at legislatively to say we need to make a requirement for these people either to report to the insurance department or to the real estate division. One of them, you know, there probably ought to be a reporting aspect somewhere in statute, and Reed, maybe that's something you can look into as we draft our bill to see where maybe it ought to be put. If we put it in our bill, you know, maybe there'll be some objections and someone will want to put it in the real estate code. So I don't know, we'll kind of work towards that end as well.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Commissioner, and I'll get going on that.
Okay. Thank you, Reed.
That would be an excellent way to begin to start a dialogue with the division.
And
I agree that I... Yeah. That would be great to finally have some resolution on that. So thank you. We appreciate that. And we look forward to what might take place over the next 30 days. Does anybody have any other comments about that, about this item? Okay. If not, we'll move on. Are there any hot topics that anyone has questions about or would like to bring before the commission? Any requests to have something added perhaps to the next agenda?
Chase, this is Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Heard Nancy first. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if this is the right place, and I certainly don't know if it should be a hot topic, but it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this would be our last meeting with Commissioner Kaiser. Is that correct?
Yes, that is, Nancy, and I was going to bring that up before we adjourn, but since you brought it up, if it's okay, I'd like to address that. Would that be okay, Chase?
That would be wonderful. In fact, I think we probably all were thinking the same thing, because if no one had anything, that was what I was going to talk about myself. So, yeah, please do.
Yeah, thank you. And I just might add here, Chase, I think you do an excellent job of chairing, as have our past chairs, Nancy and Allison and others who have worked from this. I can remember when I first took this position almost 8 years ago, there was quite a bit of controversy, and I can remember having Jeff Weiner and Matt Sager in my office on a pretty regular basis for a long time, as we were trying to resolve and work through some issues, and Kurt Webb was there. But I just want to thank you, Chase. You're doing a great job. Nancy, Randy.
Thank you.
Allison, Darla, I appreciate the work that you do as Title and Escrow Commissioners and for your work. And certainly need to thank Perry for the work she does as counsel. She's been a great help for me. I don't run these meetings. You guys do. In fact, I do very little, as you can tell at the end of the meeting. I mostly get a chance to listen in and see how my team responds to your questions and work. But I just really appreciate Steve Gooch. Steve does a great job of preparing, getting things ready, doing the minutes, preparing the agenda, and to Reed and to Randy Overstreet, the work that they do in getting together the reports. Tracy and Danny aren't here, but they always add so much, at least for me, to know that they're there and can answer questions. And I appreciate all that Michael Covington does with Continuing Ed, and especially to Adam Martin. This really tends to be his bailiwick. You know, he understands this real estate and title stuff so well, and he has been the person that Reed and I really lean on, and Tracy lean on, to help solve many of the problems that occur in title and escrow. And I appreciate Adam's work so very much. I think he's finally got around to the point that he's getting to enjoy the benefits of teleworking, I'm glad that he's getting that chance, because his commute tends to be one of the more difficult in the department. But it's been an interesting experience for me. I've loved this job. It's been probably the funnest thing that I've ever done. Work has not been work for me the past 8 years. It has not been work. I've enjoyed coming into the department. I have such incredible people working with me, and they make my job so very, very easy. And that's especially noted of my administrative team and of Perry. I can remember attending a meeting with Perry and Reed, and I think there's one other thing. It could have been Len Stillman, the receiver, liquidator we work with. But there's somebody else on the line with us, as I recall, but maybe there wasn't. And we're bantering back. How do we figure a solution to this problem? And we're talking. And at the end of the thing, I said, okay, Perry, you do this, and Reed, you do that. And that'll take care of it. We'll just do that. And that's kind of how my day goes. It's I get to delegate to a lot of people that help solve problems and make things happen at the department. And so to my team, I'm just so especially grateful for all that they do. And I'm kind of like a Wizard of Oz. I sit behind this big green curtain and pull strings, and people do things for me and for us and for the state. And so it's been just a pleasure for me to get to do this. What's next for the department? We don't exactly know. That really is interesting to me because the governor's gone to Washington, D.C. So, and he'll be there till Wednesday. And Wednesday's my last day, so I don't know who's replacing me. And I suspect that if he hasn't talked to somebody yet, that he's going to have to do it virtually. So I don't know. No news on the front for me. I don't know what's going on there. And but I am confident that he will not leave the department in without a leader by October 1st. I'm sure that someone will be called to step in, and I'm confident that that will happen, and I probably will happen today or tomorrow, and then we'll find out about it. But it does leave us in a little bit of wondering, you know, what's going to happen on September 30th, who's going to take over the reins and the transition. But, you know, maybe there's somebody knows them, they're just going to announce. But I have not been part of that discussion. So I did make some personal recommendations when I asked the governor if it would be okay if I retired. Personally, for me, as for my next steps, I'll be returning to Manti, where my home is. And I'll be here with my wife, and I have a little hobby farm. I have five acres, an orchard, large garden, and I was talking to one of the neighbors, or one of the individuals who I lease some of my land to for alfalfa, and he's didn't water it much this year, and I just said, do you care if I grow potatoes or corn on it next year? And he says, I'd love to see you do that, so I think we'll be tilling up part of that other acreage and trying to put in maybe some potatoes or some corn or something. I'll learn a little bit more about that. And I think one of the things that I would like to do, I'd like to learn a little bit about blacksmithing. So I've talked with one of the local machine shops here, if I could maybe donate some time and go in and learn a little bit about metals and welding and blacksmithing a little bit, so that I kind of see those two things, gardening and maybe blacksmithing during the welding, running a little bit during the winter when it gets a little bit colder to maybe just for those things to take up my time. I do not want to lobby. People have asked and inquired. That seems to be where I have a skill set there after 18 years of working government, that I have connections and certainly some, you know, some skill sets there. And one other thing that I probably will consider doing is at least less the local college in Ephraim at Snow College know that I am available, and if they would ever want me to reach out and speak at a and a class associated with either political science or maybe even insurance, that I'd be willing to participate and go up and, you know, teach a class once in a while up there. So that's kind of where my future is. And I have 9 children, and I now have 35 grandchildren. I think when I started this job, if you go back and look at the early resume, we put on a website, those first ones, I think I had 22 grandchildren. So in 8 years, we've added another 13. We just had the most recent about 2 weeks ago. Amy had a perfectly healthy little girl that was premature, but everything's fine. So both mom and baby are home from the hospital. But I think those are the highlights of where I'm headed, what I might be doing, and what the department is. And to all of you, those of you who attend regularly, I can think of Carol and so many of you. If I start mentioning names, I'm going to regret that I even started. but I appreciate the involvement of so many of you who participate and are there on a regular basis that are involved with the Title and Escrow Commission meetings. So thanks so much. And with that, if some of you have a question or two about what I related here, I'm certainly open to try and answer them. And I wish the best to the Title and Escrow business as I move on. I know that there's been some struggles and challenges the last 2 years, and certainly 8 years ago when code was changed significantly. And with that, thank you so very much. And I won't be at the next meeting.
Well, Commissioner, on behalf of the commission and all those that preceded me, thank you for everything you've done in your position for the title industry. We appreciate that you've taken it seriously and that you listen and that you've been involved and that we found an ally in you, and we appreciate it. I wish you luck in exchanging shirt and tie for some overalls and chore boots. And I might try and make a personal request. It would be, I would love to be able to preside over these meetings next year with a hand-forged gavel from your blacksmith shop.
Yeah, okay. I was talking to a longtime friend who does blacksmithing, and he says, well, Commissioner, it's real, there's a learning curve here. And let me just tell you that the first thing you should start out making are nails. And you probably ought to make about 400 of them before you think of making something else. So the bar's been set. I start out with nails.
that's all about the foundational principles.
Yeah. We're making nails to start with.
Well, does anybody else have anything to add there? It sounded like a couple people began to speak.
Chase, this is Allison. I feel bad for following up after that great speech by the commissioner. And Commissioner Kreitzer, I appreciate everything that you've done for us as well. I just want to mention something quickly that might be of interest to those in the industry. In my current role as county auditor, there's a circuit breaker bill that deals with the abatements that veterans and those who are indigent get. And the bill right now is suggesting that the counties would possibly refund prorated portions of taxes based on, you know, when somebody owns or sells a property. And so I just wanted to kind of make everybody aware that that's kind of floating through, or there's some language floating through that might affect how closing proration of property taxes are done at closing. I personally don't love it. I don't know how my other auditor colleagues feel right now. We just barely got the information a few days ago, so I haven't had a chance to float it past anybody. But it's in the circuit breaker bill. And so I just wanted everybody to have a chance to take a look at that so that you can see if you guys, if the title industry has any issues with it or trouble with it, so that they can, you know, have a chance to vet it out too. So it's a bill that's being sponsored by Senator Davis. It's supposed to come up in the 2020 general session. And it's, it doesn't have a bill number yet, but it's their general circuit breaker bill that comes out where they adjust the incomes and things like that. So just kind of as a heads up for that. So.
Thank you.
So it will probably get rushed into an interim committee. I would look for that. I'm probably in business labor, but you might want to watch for that, because I suspect they'll try and make that a committee bill and push it out pretty quickly. I would keep your eyes out for it. And if you know Senator Davis is running it, you might reach out to him personally and just say, you know, can we get a little more information on this? As a title industry, we would like to review it and make sure that we can comply with everything that's being requested of us. So
I don't think that would be an unusual request.
I appreciate
it. Really good idea.
Appreciate the insight there, and appreciate you thinking about that, Allison. I can clearly see how that could become a problem in terms of relations for between parties. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And Chase,
any other items? Please.
Yes. I just didn't want to miss the opportunity to tell Commissioner Kaiser how much I appreciate just when you were in the rooms. It was just kind of a calming influence. And I appreciate that. And it's so nice to hear that you're not going off to golf, because I've had a couple other friends recently retire, and all they say is they're going to golf. And I just feel like what you shared with us might be a little bit more fulfilling than chasing a little white ball. So good luck, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you.
Well, if there's no other items, then I might ask for a motion to adjourn.
So
our next meeting will be October 19th, 2020. I think given the current conditions of COVID in Utah, we should probably expect that it will be no difference. We'll be meeting here through the telephone conferencing system, and we'll accept Allison's motion. Anyone want a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.